Hello and welcome to what episode? Whatever. Don't worry about it. Just welcome to the SFL Drifters podcast. I'm your host, Captain Ben. With me again this time around is Mike Acosta.
Hello.
And back by the man, Noel Garcia.
Of course. Hello.
Yes, indeed. Noel, tell us what happened last time that you couldn't make it.
The day after was going to be my birthday. I didn't want to do anything.
Right. Okay, buddy.
Yeah, that was my reasoning. I just didn't really want to do anything.
Because from what I remember, you were like, bro, I'm too tired.
Yeah, exactly. I'm too tired. I didn't want to do anything. Makes sense.
Okay. So, Noel, what else have you been up to?
Getting the car ready little by little. Hopefully I should have it running by the beginning of April. But we shall see.
Hopefully.
Yeah, Mike's been helping me out a little bit as well. So, you know, thank you, Mike.
Yep.
And all the other friends that come by the house.
I help you too, you know that, right?
Yeah, you helped me by eating my fries and
Exactly. Think about it like this. All that you consume is harmful to you. If I eat some of it, you're consuming less harm.
But you're harming yourself.
Yeah.
Are you trying to say that you're killing yourself for me?
Yes, I'm sacrificing myself for you.
Amazing.
I'm showing you what a true friend that I am.
But, you know, you're also hindering Noel a bit because you're taking away the energy he needs to work on his car.
Exactly.
What are you talking about?
Those are good carbs. Those are good carbs.
He doesn't work on his car. He calls people to go and work on it. What do you think he called you, Mike?
This is true. This is true.
Well, tell us, Mike, what have you been up to?
Not much, really. Trying to work something out to get a little car running, a little missile going.
Uh-huh.
With you, of course. And
I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't know. I'm just gonna slip that in there.
Okay.
I'm just trying to pop it right in there.
Yeah. Okay. I see where this is going.
But other than that, I just bought a house, so I'm just trying to. Go, move forward with that, and
Mike is moving on up to the east side.
And that's about it with my life.
Word. All right, folks. Let's just get to it. First things first. PBIR.
That was a great event.
It was a really awesome event. Especially for the drivers. That FD layout looks. Tremendous fun, man.
Hold on. Let's give some background before we get right into it. So world famous Chris Jackson from Jackson Performance and U.S. Drift Circuit fame, he got together with the guys from BizBeat and put together a little drift event over at PBIR last Friday, right?
Yeah, it was the 14th.
Yeah, so gates open at 6. We got there, unfortunately. Mike, myself, and a couple of other people, along with Roly and Gabby, we all got there at 7 o'clock. I actually left at 4. We got there at 7.
Jeez.
3 hours to get to West Palm.
It took us 3 hours to get to West Palm because freaking Gabby, look. This just shows what good friends we are, okay? Everybody that was going on this damn trip had a sun pass, and we're willing to go to the turnpike, except for Gabby. So, because Mr. Gabriel Jordan did not want to go to the turnpike, nor did he have the funds, nor did he have such a thing called a sun pass, we decided, all right, we'll go with you, and we'll tag along with you to I-95. Now, of course, everybody knows how the I-95 is during 5 o'clock, which is around the time that we hit up I-95. And yes, so what usually is a 1 hour trip ended up being a 3 hour trip.
Well, that was a 3 hour trip for you because you picked me up at like 5:20.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, traffic was bad.
Yeah.
But in any case, so.
Palmetto's bad at that time as well.
Dude, everything is bad at that time.
Yeah. Well, Except for the turnpike. It's not
except
that
for
bad.
The turnpike.
Compared to freaking 95.
Which unfortunately we didn't take.
But thinking about it afterwards, I was like, I should have just given Gabby money. I should have just given him like $10 and like, look, get on the damn turnpike.
Well, he didn't, you know, also he didn't want to sacrifice. He didn't want to risk taking the risk of getting in trouble because, you know, his car isn't registered yet.
Taking the risk of not getting in trouble. Did you see him taking the freaking carpool lane? Okay, just because he has a four-door car does not give him, you know, it's like, it clearly says two or more people, not two, more than two doors. You know, it's ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
Talking about not looking to get in trouble, and then look at him on the freaking carpool lane in the middle of rush hour traffic. Whatever. In any case, we finally get there. It's cool as always. You know, catching up with everybody. You know, catching up with some old faces. I saw some celebrities there, like Kevin Phillips.
Yep.
No, yeah, KP was there. I also saw some unknown faces. I've never seen some of those guys that went there.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there was a lot of people there that I was like, I've never seen you before.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of cars I've never seen.
Yeah. So, obviously, Dayron was there from Cape Coral.
Yeah, that car books, by the way.
I have a question. Who's that dude with the coupe with the 2J? That's an awesome car. I just don't know who that is.
That is Johan.
Johan, I forgot.
I forgot his username on the forum. But a funny thing, funny enough, on the last Street Palms event, I don't know if it was the last one or the one before, but he had essentially like built the car like in a matter of days.
Huh.
And from the time that I saw it at Street Palms to the time that I saw it at PBIR, it still looked the same. So if it is the same, if you know, he didn't change anything else, that car, what you see is what a 4 or 5 day build looks like.
Jeez. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I will say that is impressive. There's a lot going on in that car.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another celebrity that I got a chance to see was Ahmed Doody.
Oh, yeah.
Ah, yes.
He's there, yeah.
I finally met him in person.
You finally meet the man in person.
Yep.
What is wrong with you, Noel? Where have you been?
In Tennessee, apparently.
Oh, gosh. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You were up in the mountains trying to capture the attention of the mountain ladies.
No, I was just crashing my car trying to beat Takumi.
Oh gosh. Yeah, your four cylinder Mustang.
Yeah, exactly.
But in any case, yeah, I gotta tell you, I'm a duty, he's always such a fun, happy guy to be around with. The guy always has a smile on his face. Right?
Yep.
Yeah, no, he's
Why sorry, why that sudden like silence? What's wrong with you guys?
I was distracted.
Yeah, of course. It seems like Mike is also distracted.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm still playing GT6.
Oh my god.
Sounds like someone has a personal problem.
Anyway, yes. He's very nice person to talk to, and he's always smiling and happy, and yeah, he's cool, man.
Did you guys see his GS?
Yes,
I did.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful. Just.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's really nice.
I see it. It's like, oh my god.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. In terms of the event, in terms of the keep explaining on what the layouts were, because there were two layouts.
Yeah. Well, you basically had three groups. One of them was advanced. The other two was just, I don't know. Basically, if you were in advanced or you didn't have a cage, you were in the other groups. So,
well, even if you did have a cage, you had an option to be in the single run group, because there were group A was tandem, all the cage guys, all the guys that wanted a tandem, but there was a requirement to have a cage, and then group B and group C were both singles, since there were a lot of cars in the single groups, so they just grouped them. They just made two groups, pretty much.
Yeah.
So one group Group A started, I think, in the FD layout, if I'm not mistaken. And hold on.
The professional drifting layout, sir.
Yes, sir.
It's the professional
drifting layout.
Or the pro layout.
They started there and then moved on to, I believe, the other layout.
Yeah, the other track, the other side of the track, which consisted of turn 10, which is what before you would run when you would go over to the PBIR track.
Right. And then one group in the pits, so they just kept alternating. So whenever they alternated, one group was always in the pits while the other two groups were in each layout. I'm assuming. I think that's how it worked.
Yeah, pretty much that. There were basically, you had three groups in rotation. So throughout the entire time, you had two groups out on the track and one group having a break. And they would rotate in 45-minute intervals.
It was really an amazing event, and I hope they do another one. I really want to drive it.
Well, actually, because you guys had a different perspective than I did, because I was basically in charge of taking care of the tandem guys, and basically working with the other groups to sort of coordinate the whole changing over and stuff. But you guys were basically spectating, so. How was it from your point of view, from a spectator's point of view, the event?
Well, who do you want to go first?
Well, I'll go first. The pro, quote-unquote, layout was actually a really nice, it was a really nice layout to view in terms of a spectator. There were a lot of, there was a lot of space to look at. There weren't that many people compared to the other one for some reason, but... it was really nice, and you were able to view everything. You can see the whole track, and it was really close. So viewing it was not an issue. On the other hand, the other layout, it was a pain in the ass to just see anything. To be honest, it wasn't that. I mean, in my opinion, I think it was better for a driver than it was a spectator. But even for the photographers, it was a pain in the ass from what I've seen.
Well, what made it difficult for you regarding the other track on turn 10?
There were a lot of like signs and in front of the chain link fences.
Okay.
So it was kind of difficult to get a good shot. I mean, for a photographer or even to view, because there was a little spot. I don't know. I'd say it was like 20 feet. It was like a spot there that you were able to see. It was behind the K rail, and everyone was bunched up there. So it kind of sucked.
Yeah.
But I mean, those were the only places that I was at. But I don't know if there was another spot that you could have viewed the event, possibly by where the drag racing was happening. I know there were a bunch of bleachers there. You probably could have seen the event through there too, but I'm not sure.
Gotcha. How about for you, Noah? How was it for you?
Spectator-wise, I think it was great. The pro layout was excellent, view-wise, and I only went to turn 10 to watch a few runs, but it seemed it's I guess the same thing as Mike said, not much to see there, at least view-wise. But speaking to the drivers, I was surprised to hear that a lot of people are more scared of the turn 10 layout than the pro layout. Because of the run up that you don't really see the rest of the turn. Like you just see the initiation or the beginning of the turn, the entry, but you don't see the exit. So it kind of like made a few of the new guys scared. But what I saw from the pro layout was that pro layout is challenging. it's quite a challenge if you don't get the line right, if you initiate a little bit too slow or whatnot. So I mean, it gives you a perspective of who the pros are and who the amateur guys are, and that's not taken away from anything, from any of the skills from our drivers down here. I mean, we have great drivers and whatnot. It's just, it's a different level now. Now we're coming into a track, that requires a certain car, requires a certain skill. But it was fun. It was fun to watch either way,
Yeah.
So
there weren't that many drivers that were able to link the pro layout, with an exception, you know, for like maybe four or five, but and a lot of drivers didn't do the entry, but I mean, overall, it was there were a lot of guys there that were doing pretty well.
Speaking of people who are doing well, there's, you know, the regulars. You have Bill, you know, killing it as always.
Andrew Mensah made an appearance.
He started picking up on it at the end. Started doing pretty good at the end. You know, you got your usual suspects out there doing good, but there was a few surprises. I was very surprised with Doug Castro with the single cam turbo car. You know, from West Palm Beach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
You know, and he posted on Facebook that he didn't have power steering, and from my experience, I was pretty impressed with that. I was actually wowed by that fact. And on top of the fact that he's linking the course, almost effortlessly.
Hold on, Noah, because it doesn't take much to wow you. Just somebody just needs to show you a sandwich, and you're blown away.
That is true, but and somebody else that really impressed me. He always impresses me with his driving. Is Chris Maffey? He was able to link the track in a stock G35. So I mean, that's, you know.
Well, you gotta be careful too, because his girlfriend was driving that same car. So I don't know if maybe you may have been seeing her driving.
Maybe I saw Brittany driving too, and then damn, she's a good driver too.
Yeah, she's not a bad driver herself.
Yeah, but either way, I mean, regardless of who it was, that, you know, a stock car going out there and linking that track, mm-hmm. is, you know, that's there's something to be said about that, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's it definitely. I guess you could say it shows what driver mod can do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. But regarding, from my perspective, I mean, there's really not much I can say. Just the fact that, you know, I was just glad that we were sort of able to, like, work, you know, I was able to, like, work with everybody else and making sure that everybody was running, what was there where they needed to be, was informed of what was going on. And above all else, I think the most important part, and this is something that Jackson was worrying about, was that making sure that everybody had enough seat time.
Yeah. And no, it seemed like everybody got, you know, plenty of runs in, so.
Yeah, there was a lot of guys that had a lot of time. Unfortunately, some guys couldn't either make it or had car problems and weren't able to do much.
Yeah. One of those guys, unfortunately, is Randy Medina with the 5.0 Mustang.
Yeah.
You know, unfortunately, the motor's giving him issues.
No, it took a shit on him that night.
Yeah. So, you know, but I'm sure we're going to see Randy pretty soon, stronger than ever, so.
Oh, yeah, he's got a little surprise with the car.
Yeah.
Soon.
Hopefully it comes through, so.
Oh, no, it will. I believe him. It will.
Oh, okay. Well, you know more than I do. I'm happy then.
I was surprised to see Eric Coghlan out there.
Oh, yeah.
He
was killing it too, man. That's another good driver that I've been. He was looking pretty impressed at that night.
Yeah, and you know, and of course, Coghlan has to be wild, but you know, it's he's a good driver. And you know, he's doing well out there. But no surprise there. We know he's got, you know, he's got talent.
Well, let's be frank. He was doing okay until his car broke apart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is no surprise considering his history.
Well, you know, we're not gonna take all that away from him. It's just, you know, people got troubles out there. So you know,
yeah.
What are you gonna do?
For me, the only time that I was actually able to sort of get like a spectator's perspective was towards the end, where you had the solo group and the tandem group all in one class doing the pro layout.
Yep.
And it was pretty impressive to see both Bill and Andrew Mensa tandeming against one another.
Yeah, that was a show for sure. It was really, really good. I mean, Bill has that track on point. From all the pro-am drivers that I've seen and everything, he had the line down. He was coming in aggressive, clutch kick entries, which I think especially from where they were starting, everybody should have been doing. And Mensa, I guess like him and Mensa, like they know how to drive with each other. So I mean, that was definitely a show to watch,
Yeah. And the other thing too that sort of I guess surprised me was just how much difficulty or how difficult it was for some of the drivers to actually get like the entry. You'd see some of the guys like I still remember there was an S13 that I don't remember if it was a hatch or a coupe. I can't recall, but I'm pretty sure it was red. And I remember he was just like trying to manji the entry.
Oh yeah.
And I think it was trying to do it in first gear. Now, I knew right off the bat, I was like, okay, this guy's not going to get far. I don't even know why he's even trying to do this in first gear and manjing all this stuff. And it's just, I was just baffled by it.
Yeah. But it seemed like, I don't know, from where I was, it seemed like he was in second gear, he would manji the entry and then do the rest of the track okay, but yeah, it was kind of scary to watch him manji down the street where he should be transitioning just one time.
I had my hands up in the air, and just like telling myself, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, but then again, a lot of people are scared to go into third and clutch kick at that kind of speed. So I mean, it's not it's not something I look down upon. It's more like he'll get it one day.
Well, now, how about, how did Gabby do? How did Gabriel do?
He didn't do bad. Of course, he didn't do the entry. He started around the second turn, I believe. But, he didn't do bad. He told me at first he was a little scared to do the exit because it was a little too narrow, like the, by where the wall is. Mm-hmm. And he was a little too scared, but I see he started building more confidence, and I think he ended up doing it at the end of the night. But to be honest, he didn't do bad. He was actually doing pretty well with the new setup he has on his car.
Yeah, considering car setup, he wasn't doing too bad. I mean, there's always ways to compensate it, but from what I'm seeing, and from what other people have been seeing, it's not an easy car to to keep sliding. Due to mostly to the power band, I would say, where the turbo lag is tremendous on that car.
Yep.
But once he got it sliding and started getting the hang of it, he was doing all right. He was doing pretty good, So I mean, props to him on that.
Was there anybody else that caught your attention by surprising you, by impressing you, or by almost crashing?
Sal and Hutch. Those guys surprised me.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, well, Hutch did crash.
Yes.
He went into the tire barrier. And surprisingly enough, because that layout has a lot of room for error from what I saw. There was a few times where I'd be like, oh, boy, this guy's going to crash. And he would just, he just had the room to, stop the car and keep going. But Hutch kept going. And he went into the tire barrier, but the car seemed fine after that. It was that tire barrier is nice and soft.
How about Sal? God.
Sal's appearance is what surprised me. I haven't seen him in over a year.
That is absolutely true. Sal,
bad. I mean, he wasn't as good, but I'm assuming. I think that's car problems. I don't think that's driver issue, but
that car is tweaked and chassis wise, it seems to me.
Yeah,
it's been tweaked, and then on top of that, his engine wasn't running 100% either.
No, you. I don't know if you noticed, but he was running a non-intercooled setup.
Yeah, he was with a blow-off valve sticking way up.
Yeah, the pipe was just sticking out the engine bay. No, but no, I was just surprised to see him there, and he, you know, to be honest, for what he had, he wasn't doing that bad either.
No, he was out there. You know, he was tandeming with Bill for a few runs. You know, so yep.
What did you guys think about Sal's unique rear light fixture?
it reminded me of FD.
it's definitely a temporary fix.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. It works.
Yeah, it does work. Reminded me of the strip that the FD guys have in the rear window.
Yeah.
You mean the front window?
Oh no, they have them on front.
They have and rear. Front and rear. Yeah.
Oh, they yeah. have a lot around. They should just like put it on the side of windows too. Might yeah. as well get it over with.
That is true.
Complete the whole set. But yeah, so overall the event was good, I guess, right?
Yeah. Yeah, the event was excellent, I would say.
Plenty of surprises, and it was overall a great time for everybody, really.
Yeah.
That's good. The only thing is that we don't the last time I spoke to Jackson, which was a couple of days ago, I don't really recall, but he hadn't heard anything from the track regarding whether they were happy
or
disappointed. Yeah. Nothing at all. No feedback at all. So there's really no idea as to whether or not it's going to happen again.
Okay.
Or if it's like, oh, no, it's not. We're never again. Are we going to do that? Nothing like that. So it's really up in the air as to the future of whether or not we're going to have another event at that track.
Well, that would be very sad, especially considering that we got plenty of drivers out there, plenty of spectators.
We had a lot of drivers. You know,
yeah, we had a very good event, you know, especially being PBIR, that back in the day you would even have like 5 cars going out there, you know, and now we had like something like, what, 25, 30 cars? You know, we had a, you know, pretty decent amount of cars out there.
Really?
So hopefully,
no, that was more than 30. I'm pretty sure.
That was more than 30. Well,
yeah, you know, had to have been more than 30.
No, well, there you go.
No, get your glasses checked out.
Well, you know, whatever. I was estimating, but you know, there you go. You have more than I even said, and that, you know, that's a lot of cars. So,
right.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, they should have seen a benefit to that, you know, for us and for them too, you know. But yeah. Let's just hope. Let's just hope and see what happens next with PBIR.
Gotcha. So, yeah, basically no idea as to what's going to happen, so we'll see. Either way, Jackson will keep everybody informed as to what's going on. And let's just switch gears and talk about FD for a little bit, since we've mentioned FD for a bit. And talk about the controversial topic that's been circulating the internet, and that is the decision to remove the consolation round for third place. And now what's going to happen is, instead of before how you would normally have the loser of whatever battle for the final four, they go at it, and then they battle for third and fourth place. Well, now they're doing away with that, and now it's whoever you know, loses in the final four, between those two drivers that lost, the one that qualified highest will automatically get the win for third place.
Yeah.
That is the stupidest idea ever.
Of course, that has sent everybody up in arms, because that is doing away with what we have been traditionally seen as something that makes sense. There was nothing wrong with it. There was no need to be tampered with. Why FD is tampering with it, we don't know, but it's just stupid. Your thoughts,
yeah.
Gentlemen?
Apparently, Ryan Sage is saying, for the sake of the show, to get, you know, to get on with the show, where they're doing away with it. I think that it's dumb. In fact, that's not for the sake of the show. That is probably the second best battle of the whole day. So, You know, why are you doing away with that? You know what I mean?
In my opinion, they could eliminate so, like, so many other things in order to improve, you know, the time frame of these events. But the one thing that I swear, man, I didn't even know they would do this, and it's a stupid idea to just get rid of it, to be honest, just to save time.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. You know, let the third and fourth place guys battle it out for the third. You know what I mean? Just let, you know, see who's really better. Qualifying is one thing, but tandem battle is another. So I mean, you know, it's a whole other thing. It's a whole other aspect of driving compared to a solo run. So why are they doing away with that? I do not know. I can't figure it out. It's the dumbest thing I've seen FD do, apart from many other dumb things that they have done. But this is really the worst thing that I've seen them do. They're also saying that, well, other motorsport series that use a tournament style bracket, they don't have a third place consolation round, which I've seen a lot in drag racing and whatever. But that's a whole other thing. You know what I mean? That's a whole other sport. This is drifting. This is different.
How does drag racing do it, though? Because I know nothing, you know, about professional drag racing. So, and we all know Noel is the specialist on that. So tell us, Noel, how do they do it in the drag racing world?
Pretty much, when you're in the semifinals, which is the last four, you have the same thing. They do a run, whatever. The winners move on to the finals. And then the losers, the third and fourth place, are decided by their elapsed time on the semifinals. So whoever had a faster run in the semifinals will get third place. That's how they do it.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but
that makes sense.
But drifting isn't about time. Isn't about
exactly.
And there's really no score when there's tandem battling. There's just really big decisions. That's all there is. So how are you going to score that? And whatever, what are you going to do? The qualifying run, like I said, is different from tandeming. It's a whole other aspect of driving.
Yeah.
So why are you throwing that on the drivers, you know, and the spectators too? So I mean, well, it's just
you're right. You touch on something that makes sense, because how can you compare a tandem run with a qualifying run when both runs are completely different from one another? In both of the runs, the driver is exposed to different variables that have nothing to do with one another. In the qualifying run, you have one car, you know, you yourself out there. And then when you're tandeming, you have another car to deal with. And that affects your driving.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course. So really, you know, saying that, oh, this guy was better because he had a better qualifying run doesn't really mean squat, you know, when they're talking about tandeming. And, you know, it's like, yeah, I can have the best run in the world, but if I can't adapt to the driver in front of me or dealing with the pressure behind me, then, you know, that's not really, you know, I'm not winning because I had a better qualifying run. That's really, I don't know, I think it's dumb. But at least what they're doing now is third and fourth place are going to have the same amount of points in the tandem. So really the only way you're going to score more points than the fourth place guy is through your qualifying run, which I see kind of somewhat makes sense, but still does for drifting really doesn't.
It's definitely less exciting, especially for the spectator. I mean, they want to, you know, they want to get rid of it to save time, but at the same time, they're making it less exciting.
Yeah, absolutely, and I completely agree. But one thing that they are actually that I feel that they're changing around for the better is they're simplifying their rules for judging.
Okay.
So
in what sense? I haven't read that.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of like it's gonna be a lot more lenient. You know, one of the things that they were talking about is what happened with Chris Forsberg in Palm Beach last year, where his exhaust knocked over a cone,
yeah,
they're not gonna they're gonna be a lot more lenient about that. They're gonna be like, well, you know, that's not his car, you know, big deal. So they're gonna, you know, and they're taking away the two strikes rule, which if you have two things that, you know, that deduct major points put together creates a zero, they're going away with that. You know, they're changing up the rules for judging, which and simplifying it and making it, you know, they pretty much want to see who had a better run overall, you know, who had a more exciting run, who had more, you know, like who was dominating that run. And that's more than, you know, oh, who followed all the little dumb rules that we put up. So I think it's a lot better. It's going to be a lot better. Hopefully we'll see in Long Beach how that goes, because you know how they always say, oh, we're changing this for the better. And then, you know, here we go again with the bad judging, you know.
From what you've told me, sorry to cut you off, but from what you told me, I don't think it's going to change anything. Because from what you told me, if you were to apply that to what happened at PBIR last year with June Meng and Tony Angelo, you're still going to get the same result, which is nonsense.
Yeah, which is nonsense. I agree with that. But there's also, like I said, they're being a little bit more lenient. You know, you drop a tire, they're really not going to, you know, as long as, you know, you complete a good run, whatever, they're not going to really hammer down on that as hard as they used to. You know, as before, I remember in North Atlanta, a few people after the initiation, they'll bring their wheels straight. The car's still drifting, but they'll bring their wheels straight and they'll zero them out for that.
Yeah, not doing that happened to Daijiro Yoshihara.
That happened to Yoshihara, that happened to Grunwald. I mean, I could go on with a list of drivers.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're not gonna zero you out. They're gonna give you a deduction, but they're not gonna zero you out over something as you know, it's not so significant to zero it out over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The car is still sliding. It's technically still sliding. Now it's just sliding all four wheels instead of the front wheels guiding the car. So, you know, I mean, hopefully, you know, that makes up for the whole third place battle thing, but I don't think so. I still think we absolutely need that. I hope they go back on that and be like, look, you know, I'm sorry, we're going to put it back, you know, whatever. Oh, I don't know, we should protest or something, or, you know. But, you know, what are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Formula D is a monopoly in American drifting. And we all, and it's somebody to come up with something else. It's going to be very difficult. It's been done before. And it's, you know, nobody, you know, it, you know, going up against a giant like that, you know, you're not really going to win out.
I think they should have changed their tagline from to 10 years and still controversial.
That makes sense.
A lot of these, a lot of the FD drivers now, they're going to have over 1,000 horsepower now this season.
Yes. That is
pushing a lot of power.
That is a big thing this year, is the horsepower wars. And another thing that's been kind of quiet is the angle wars. A lot of people are coming out with a ton of angle, like Wise Fab style.
Yeah, angle that's not necessary to me, in my opinion.
Yeah, but, you know, they're making 1,000 horsepower now, so I guess they can still go fast.
That's true.
At 90 degrees. So, I mean, you know, it's like... yeah, it's becoming very hard if you're a privateer to go into, you know, into the big leagues.
Screw that, Noel. We have confidence in you. Throw your black Corolla in there. You can do it. Bro, don't worry. I got this.
Another big thing that they're doing this year with the whole Pro 2 and everything.
Oh, God, is, not that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. This year, what they're doing is pretty much, this year's a qualifier for next year. So if you're not in the top 32 in points in the FD in Pro 1 or whatever you want to call it, if you're not in the top 32 in points, you're gonna get knocked down to Pro 2, and the top 8 in Pro 2 will move up to FD. So then pretty much you're only gonna have 40 drivers in Pro 1, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
So next year. So, you know, and I find that to be kind of weird because, give me a minute. Somebody's calling me. Anyway, I find that to be kind of weird because, you know, sometimes, you know, with 50-something drivers, we can barely get a top 32. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe that's also playing into tying into the whole thing why they're going to be a little bit more lenient with qualifying or the judging overall. So that way they can actually make a top 32 every round. But, you know, everything's changing. Everything's changing. And you know what? I can't say that everything is going to be bad or whatever. But, you know, we got to let the seasons go through and, you know, make a decision at the end, you know, what's going on with it. But, you know, let's see what happens this season. I mean, I'm excited for, you know, a lot of things, a lot of good things.
You know, to make the event or better yet, the show, quote unquote, more exciting, if they manage themselves better where they have less severe downtime. And they don't place random downtime, so that way they could, you know, feed us more commercials.
Yeah, and you know what? That is actually true.
Because look, I understand they have to pay the bills. I understand that completely, and they have to. But the times and the places that they choose to do that,
it's very. Yeah.
I mean, you have, like, they're, like, in the middle of a battle, and they're like, whoa, hold on there. We got to pay the bills.
No, I mean, they should make designated times that you know these things are going to come, like, between rounds, between top 16 and top 8, top 8 and top 4. You know, like, between those rounds, be like, okay, well, you know it's going to happen, so get off your couch and, you know, make something to eat or whatever. You know what I mean? You already know that's coming. But, you know, the randomness, you know, but I can also see that they might be doing that because they're having a problem not being able to come to a conclusion for a battle or whatever.
They know that they have your attention, so let's feed you a commercial so that way you pay attention to the commercial.
That is actually true as well. But, you know, it could be a million different things. Hopefully, with the simpler judging that they're going with, hopefully with that, the show will move on faster, less delays. That's what I'm hoping for, you know. But you know, I don't know until we see at least the first round. So we'll see what happens. And there's, like I said, there's other good things to look forward to, you know, to get us excited. To, you know, but you know, there's also the bad. We can't ignore that either. So let's see what happens this year.
So final thoughts, gentlemen, on FD right now regarding the removal of the third place consolation round.
I'm just, as every year, I'm excited to watch FD again. Can't wait for it to come around. Long Beach is going to be very exciting. We need to set up a barbecue for that day.
No, you dummy. And I don't mean that. Your final thoughts on that particular topic.
Oh.
Not your final thoughts on what you feel about FD. Relax.
Okay, for that.
That's another topic. We'll get to it next time, if anything.
Okay. I hope they don't, you know, they don't kill more time than they are already doing. I hope they can save that. I hope they can come to a conclusion with the simplicity of the judging now that they're changing to. I hope they can come to a conclusion for the winner of each round a lot quicker. That way it keeps it more exciting for the spectators, and I'm actually very excited to see all these cars with the more horsepower, with like all the brand new power that they're going to have and all the angle. It's going to be pretty exciting for this year.
Okay. Let's go ahead and move on, and let's go ahead and talk about the final topic that we have on deck. Nick Ward. Nick Jeezy, as he likes to be called, I guess. He put out a 12-minute video of himself, sort of capturing what went down. Not only talking about his season in the 2013 year, but also talking about a little bit about what happened during the King of Conline series and his rivalry between himself and Bert Abelos.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. What do you guys think of the video?
I'll say it was a pretty well-done video. And kind of gave you an insight on, you know, what he was going through throughout the year, throughout the season. And you know, it's, you know, what he did as a newcomer to our scene down here in South Florida, what he accomplished and everything, you know, it just shows a lot of promise for him, you know, like if he wants to continue on. And he's a very talented kid, man. I wish him the best, you know. He's and the video is just very well done, and it kind of gave you a little insight on that.
Mike,
give me 1 second.
Oh, great, thanks. Tell me.
Editing.
Nah, don't worry about it.
Sorry, I was on the phone. Sorry. I liked the video, man. It was well done. I still believe Nick Ward's an amazing driver. He's shown a lot of promise, especially that first day I saw that car that he drives right now, and I was just like, "What the heck is this guy?" But I mean, after meeting him, the dude's nice, man. The dude's really nice. Very, he's very passionate about drifting, and that's the kind of people that we need in this motorsport. His car is great. Overall, I the video was awesome, man. It showed his struggle throughout the year, you know, especially between him and Bert, you know, always competing on these competitions. And I hope we could see more out of him for next year, or for this year, actually.
Yeah. I had a little bit of some criticisms regarding the video, actually. In the sense that I think there are some things that could have been a little bit left out. I think, for instance, you know, him talking about like what goes on, you know, in a tandem layout and what it entails and so forth. I mean, I think it's a tandem. It's sort of like self-explanatory, and the majority of the people that the audience that are is going to view the video, I think they will more than likely know what that's all about. So that's why I sort of felt like maybe it wasn't necessarily necessary. Sorry to put it that way. So I think, in my opinion, that could have, you know, been left out. But who knows? There's probably somebody out there that has no idea what drifting is, what it entails, and so forth. And it's a good idea for him to, you know, lay that out so that way they can understand, okay, what am I seeing, what's going on, why is there two cars out on the track in the video. So I think that was a good idea. You know what, where are you?
I am in my room.
It got loud all of a sudden.
I'm sorry, it's the fans. It's hot in my room.
Get away from the fans.
Yeah, but then I get hot.
So then take one for the team, alright? Get hot. Sweat yourself, but better yet, take off your clothes.
Take your clothes off.
Oh no, guys! I don't want to remember. I don't want
to. Oh, we're gonna have to put a picture of me taking off my clothes.
God!
You can just put that picture up that your mom took of you.
Yeah, there we go.
There you go. That's better. In any case, so going back to what I was saying, yeah. So I had, you know, I had some issues regarding the video, but. And the other thing too, I think he should have delved a little bit more on the rivalry between Bert and himself. I mean, yep. Yeah, because I think, in my opinion, if it wasn't for that, the series wouldn't have been as exciting to follow.
And, of course.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And it's crazy to think like there was only 2 points separating them going into the finale. 2 points. So. Whoever ended up on top, whoever like finished higher than the other, was going to take it all. Not only the title of, potentially the title of the King of Count Line, but definitely for sure the title of series champion. And it's just crazy how it was just going back and forth between these two. And how often they would battle against one another. And it was just, it would go one way, and in another event it would go another way. So there was no way to determine beforehand who was going to win. There was no clear winner. It wasn't like, for instance, it wasn't like Formula One where there's a pretty good idea that you already know Sebastian Vettel is going to win the race.
Yeah.
For instance.
Which
unfortunately.
Very mad.
The previous year, you know, like 2013, 2012, and so forth. I don't know. It doesn't seem like he's off to a good start this year, but
you never know. You never know. Anyways.
So, yeah, going back. So I think that was the most exciting part, the best part of the series, and I think he should have delved a little bit more on it, and also talked about what he had sort of built up the finale. The fact that it's like everything was on the line, he had to ensure that his car was perfect. That if his car was not up to par to his standards, he could risk losing the championship. So it was either go big or go home. And after fighting through all those all the different battles, it just came down to Bert. You know, they once again saw each other, and it was just like the same. You know, like before. Them battling one another, and it was just all on the line. And this final battle just could determine whether all of his hard work is going to pay off.
You know, it was funny. Me and Noel were talking about it that very last event. We were both judging along with, I don't remember who the hell was judging with us.
Harry, you idiot.
Was it Harry? That was the last one? That wasn't the last one, was it?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. Well,
morons.
Me and Noel were talking about it. We were like, dude, you know what would be funny? If Bert and Nick would go up against each other for the final battle. And what's funny is, it happened. That was
well, we always knew it was a possibility because of where they were in the bracket.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, first and second are always on the opposite sides. So, yeah. I mean, I was like, well, this is going to be this. It could happen. Might not happen. But if it does happen.
But it's definitely a possibility. It was cool. You know, it was awesome.
And you know what? We actually put on a good show that, you know, for a local event, you know, right at the end, we had the two best drivers the entire year going right at it. So, I mean, it was fun, man. It was fun to watch, you know. But, you know, I guess it's true what you were saying, Ben, about, you know, building it up, kind of making it exciting like a movie. But, you know.
Exactly. It's like a movie. It's like, it was a video, so make it like a movie. It's like, oh, crap, like a trailer. Not necessarily a trailer, but it's like you have your beginning, middle, and end, and the climax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad though. I mean,
No, I'm not trying to take away from how good the video is. But I'm just trying to give out like some constructive criticism on how much better it could have been.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think
don't get me wrong, like I'm not trying to knock the video producer down or anything like that. I'm just trying to, you know, give out some criticisms here.
I will say that I wish he would have used, I don't know if he had footage or not, but some of the battles from the USDC event in September when they went like one more time. I think it was like four or five times. And it was ridiculous how many times they ran against each other.
Yeah.
Because of the rain, so they kept making mistakes and whatnot. And
oh, I remember that. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. That was bad.
Yeah.
Who's judging that event? Those judges should be fired.
Those not me.
I don't know who it was. I don't know who you're talking about.
That was.
I think Noel was involved.
If the judges need to be fired, then Noel was definitely involved. You know, he got voted. He got voted the worst judge.
That's right. That's right. Worst judge of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
That's Noel's claim to fame.
I think Noel died.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I was here, but the thing is that people in my family just like to make a lot of noise.
Oh, okay.
So all right. I had to mute it.
In any case, the other thing too that I wanted to point out regarding the video is that I gotta commend him for the fact that he knew right away the result. Like he felt it, and you could just see, like in the video, you could just see what was going on through his mind and how he felt about the run. He felt.
Yeah, you could see the emotion.
Yeah, you saw the emotion through his eyes and his body language, and it's crazy considering the fact that also during the year there was a lot of criticisms regarding the judges and how they were judging and all of this stuff. So it's good to know that even though he felt that. Obviously, you could tell that he felt the judges made the right call.
Yeah,
that's true.
So I'm sure for Noel, it was a sigh of relief.
You know what? From what I've seen, you know, a lot of the drivers put the blame on the judges. Not many people can can see what, you know, those drivers were doing wrong, but, you know, the judges obviously can. Then again, there's many, like, point of views of it, but Nick Ward definitely knew that it was his fault, and he blamed it on himself and not the judges. So, you know, he also, like, took time to, like, you know, tell us about it too, and, you know, it's kind of appreciative about it, you know.
Yeah. The thing is, like, as a judge, you know, and judging all year, point of view is pretty important. I remember at one point it was Gabriel Morales versus Anthony Basilio, and
when he crashed, right?
Yeah, from where I was sitting, you know, were judging, it looked like that, you know, Gabe was, yeah, he was going slow, but he was holding the drift or whatnot, but then Anthony just full throttled into him. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
Mr. Plow. Yeah.
But then, like, and it looked like it was on purpose, but then I saw from another point of view that Anthony was going to make a pass because, you know, he was super wide, and then you can see Gabe kind of turn into him.
Yeah, I saw it too. I saw Gabe just kind of almost spin out and just go into a dead stop, and then just accelerated forward to get back in line and went right into a path collision with
So, you know, I got a lot of crap for it at the end. And
you're gonna
get
crap for it either way. Nobody likes it in a while.
I know. I know, I try. But the thing is, it was like, damn, you know, from one point of view it looks like this, and from another, so it's like, it's really hard to come to a conclusion with that. But the thing is, at the end of the day, I still, you know, I gave it to Gabe because of where I was judging from. You know what I mean? And it sucks because, you know, that isn't the entire story. You know, but then again, you know, we're not, you know, our budget is nothing. So we have no ways of doing replays or
exactly.
or whatnot.
And
so it's like, so what I decide in the judge's stand right then and there is what goes. I'm sorry. It's what it is. It is what it is. I can't do anything about it. You know what I mean? I can't recheck it or whatever. You know what I mean? And if you come up to me with your camera showing me, I'm sorry, but we got to keep the show moving too. We're not FD. We're not doing protests. None of that.
No.
So, you know.
But you said to yourself, you got to keep the show going. So so next year, Noah's going to be like, no third round, guys. No third round. No third place.
No, I'm done with judging. I don't want to judge it.
Oh, because you're a driver now. So, of course, we're still waiting for your grand debut.
No, even if I wasn't driving, I don't want to judge.
I don't do that anymore.
No, I already did it all last year, a little bit of the year before, and it's...
Look,
it's
you. Everyone here on the podcast knows that being a judge is like probably the least favorite thing to do regarding drifting.
Yep.
Yeah.
And honestly, I would love for some of the drivers themselves, especially the ones who criticize the judges and their calls, I would just love for them to actually judge an event. Because it'd be great for them to see from our perspective and sort of understand, like, okay, you have to judge based on what you see. And there are things that you're going to miss. And obviously, a driver's going to get a different perspective, and a driver's going to be like, oh, but I did this. But the judge is going to be like, I didn't see that. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So I would just love for every driver to be a judge at least once.
Yeah.
But
switch roles.
I know that's never going to happen because I know if you go up to some of them to be a judge, they're going to be like, nope. Nope.
Yeah, of course.
No, they're going to... They're going to happily deny that.
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. You know, they just want to drive. And I'm on the same page. I just want to drive, too. But, you know, there's times. If you can help out. Be a judge, you know. But it's just letting you know ahead of time. It's not easy. It's definitely not easy, man. It takes a lot out of you. Sometimes it hurts to make the decisions that you have to make.
Oh, for sure.
It's not something where it's like you're just cold blooded and whatever. It's like, damn, bro, that guy had an awesome run, but he just did this one little mistake and it threw it all off. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it,
like for instance, at the first U.S. Drift Circuit. Sorry to cut you off, but to add to your point, the first U.S. Drift Circuit at the Seminole Coconut Creek, where Harry tipped over the damn cone.
Yep, yep, and he was on Bill's door, like a pro, but you know. It is what it is. You know, these are the rules, and that's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing. It's like, it's not easy. It's not easy, regardless of who you are.
Indeed. So, final thoughts on Nick's video.
It was good, but right.
Or either Nick's video or Nick himself. Go.
Oh, well, Nick, you know, I wish him the best for 2014. I know he's coming up with something pretty cool on his car this year. I don't know exactly what, but but he's been mentioning that it's going to be a little different. You know, he's an excellent driver. He came out of nowhere and just started whooping on all of us. And yeah, I mean, you know, I wish him the best. You know, he's one of us now. I'll say that. You know, he's part of SFL now.
Indeed.
You know, hopefully, you know, he can, you know, show us what's up, you know, come back with a vengeance, I guess.
Bro, you know what? I'm going to give him a run for his money once the Corolla's running.
That was not me talking, but okay. just wanted to make sure.
I just want
to
make a point. I just want to say something. That last year, Noel's claim to fame was worst judge. This year, he'll be shooting for worst driver.
That's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm hoping for. But as for the video, like what you said, Ben, it's true. He maybe built up to the climax, I guess, and I like how you like that.
Go on, Noel. Keep talking dirty to me.
No, he should have built up to the climax. But, you know, either way, it was still a good video. Just learn from your mistakes, I guess.
There's always room for improvement.
Of course.
Of course, with everything, obviously.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you're saying that like if it was bad.
I'm not. I hear a whisper. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I think Noel's mom was talking to him.
Oh, that's why his mic just went.
It went mute. His mom was probably telling him to get undress himself so she could take another photo.
Shut up.
Awesome. Anywho, before I wrap things up, I just wanted to point out, just want to say a big thanks to all the guys that were at the U.S. Drift Circuit, Jackson Performance, Biz Speed, all the guys that basically were involved in putting the PVIR event together. Big thanks to all of them. It was a crazy, hectic night. I didn't even think like we were able to pull it off. The whole thing running in rotation, 40 two tracks, 45 minutes each group, and yeah. The fact that we were able to pull it off, it was just great, considering, you know, everything that was involved. So, definitely a big thanks and props to all of them. Also, all of the drivers who came out to put on a good show for all the spectators that were out there and just made it a fun night. It's always great to see old and familiar faces, to catch up with them, see what they're up to. Fortunately, like for me, I can't really... usually since I'm working the event, I can't really take the time to actually, you know, see them. And it sucks because I just love hanging out with them because they're just so fun to be with. And, but whatever moment I can take to, actually say hi to them or, you know, see what's up, I try to take it and I, you know, value those moments. So it was definitely great, to see a bunch of people out there at the PBIR events and all the spectators who came out and supported it. Even to some of the drivers who would normally drive an event but couldn't drive for X amount of reason but came out to spectate, to support. Big thanks to them, too. And with that, just want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. And, of course, I'm your host, Captain Ben. Mike Acosta.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And Noel Garcia. soon to be worst driver of 2014.
Worst driver.
What's up?
Please vote. Please vote for me.
Yes, indeed. All right. Catch you next time, guys. Take care.
Take it easy, guys.
All right.